Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
Kevin.
And I'm John.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look back at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies and breaking them all the way down.
What's up, John? What's up, Rick?
Rick, how are you? How did you get in here?
I don't know. Somebody made a mistake.
Rick is still here. He's helping to shepherd us through.
He's a glutton for punishment.
This is a movie,
like
guys.
Dalton. You can't get enough.
Pain don't hurt.
That's right. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Nobody ever
bellies full of pizza. Home run in.
I was a virgin until just now.
I had never even heard of this until pandemic times, and it's become like amongst our coworkers.
It's a thing.
Just a talking point of like, it's the top frozen pizza. I don't know if it deserves that title or not, but it's pretty damn solid.
We were a DiGiorno family growing up.
That always seemed like the creme de la creme.
It was good.
We went Stouffer's French bread.
Ooh. You went Stouffer's French bread a lot in college.
Well, yeah. I think it was like the... I don't know if it's a healthy
cuisine
choice
one?
Or lean cuisine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you pop those suckers in a toaster oven.
Yeah.
Comes out solid.
Man, 6 minutes later.
Now I can't stop thinking about Fellini's.
Oh, dude. I haven't had Fellini's.
We got to get the vaccine
years.
In us, and we're going to go and crush
God.
That. I have had
the
Fellini's.
Sicilian slice?
I've had a few DoorDash, like, whatever the heck. Grubhub. Fellini experiences, and it is rock solid.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
But this home run in, it's a solid substitute for real pizza.
Absolutely.
For restaurant quality.
That should be their slogan. Yeah. A solid substitute for real pizza.
Because you can't go out.
Yeah. The cheese, much like this film, the cheese is top notch.
It's loaded with it.
Loaded with that 80s
quality.
Cheese.
Quality 80s.
We're here to talk a little bit more about Roadhouse.
Yeah, I guess we should mention in the meantime, though, to all of our fans all over the world, our international listening audience, we lift a can of Miller High Life
of the high
to you all.
The champagne of beers.
That's right.
Me
cheers,
with my
John.
Mountain Dew.
That's all right.
Zero sugar.
Yeah.
Cheers.
You know, we do what we can.
Exactly.
But this, Miller products throughout this film. They were drinking the MGD.
Yeah, we were trying to think of what to drink while watching or talking about this movie, and it couldn't be anything good.
I think you said, yeah, it can't be too nice.
It can't be anything, like, craft.
I did some research. What are the top beers out of Kansas City? And you were like, nah, this is not what they're serving. And the Double Deuce.
Yeah, the Double Deuce. No, not at all. So I guess we should get caught up in as far as, like, what happened in the last episode. So Dalton had his first night on the shift after landing at Emmett's barn. I don't even remember what happened.
Not a lot.
Yeah. Well, later that day, he
cleaned house a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
He fired a couple more people.
Yes.
Yeah. Pat and Steve got canned.
And then Carrie Ann came sauntering by his place
she
in the wee hours of the morning to tell him that was a bad call to dismiss Pat. We should mention that the night before he saw like a massive orgy happening across the water at Wesley's house.
The whole setup of this movie is odd. Yeah, the main bad guy lives across the river from the good guy,
right.
So he's like they're sort of stalking, watching each other.
Right, and then Pat and some goons, Wesley's boys, come back to the bar, throw down with Dalton. Dalton throws them out, gets cut up, goes to the hospital, and meets the good doctor. And there's some sexual tension.
That's close enough, man. That
right?
That's sufficient.
I think
we nailed it.
Wesley's like holding the town hostage.
Right.
Basically. Like he's got all the business owners like chipping in.
Right.
Yeah.
Some bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll get started and we'll tell you guys what's happening
Wait,
now.
I want to ask you guys.
Okay,
either of you ever been involved in a barroom brawl or ever even seen one.
I have seen a fight.
I've seen a couple in college.
They got like to swinging stools and stuff?
Not to that degree, but
broken bottles?
It was some broken bottles being chucked around the bar. A place called, what was it called at that point? I think Reuben and Ed's.
Okay.
We had a bar.
This is Statesboro?
Yeah, this is Statesboro, okay. Georgia Southern University. There was a bar there that changed name like every year. When we got there, it was the Collegiate.
They had to.
My 6 years of college, it went through six different incarnations.
Okay.
But yeah, bottles being thrown, fights going out the front door into the street by the football stadium.
That's
just
solid.
Just full bore.
I've only ever seen like a couple of guys get into it. One night in Houston, saw like my buddy that took me out to a bar. I was like, before we leave this place, you will see one guy, you'll see a guy get hit with a bottle or something.
Really?
And sure, that's exactly what happened, like to the letter. Like,
drinking this high life is taking me back to my like college dive bar was this place called Mulligan's out in Oakhurst, Atlanta suburb. And high life was one of like the two beers that they had on draft. So we're drinking lots of high life and to the point that I got sick of drinking it. It's hitting the spot tonight. But yeah. This place was the only like real dive where I spent a lot of time, but I never saw a fight in there. But it was that type of place, though, a couple of pool tables in the back and like the shittiest trivia you could imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're college gone towns, now. Yeah. Rest in peace, Mulligan's, home of the ham dog and the Luther burger.
The people there weren't getting appropriately wasted.
They weren't fucked up enough.
Well, with that, since we're jacked up with pizza and high life, we'll get into this a little bit. So We cut to Pat, O'Connor, and Tinker, all Wesley goons, plus a couple more guys rolling up to Brad Wesley's place in a sedan and Bigfoot.
Bigfoot number 7, to be
what
exact.
The hell?
This is like made built specifically for the movie.
What in the world?
But it was like one of the real, like, it was a real Bigfoot.
It was a Bigfoot, because after the movie, then it went into doing shows and monster truck rallies and stuff.
So that's why
it
didn't have the branding on it yet?
Yes, exactly.
So they come rolling up in like a Bigfoot and like a Mercury Sable. So it's just like, again,
yeah,
there's
like
no
something.
No continuity to the guys.
Yeah.
But that the dude, the Bigfoot driver, Ketchum, that goon.
Yeah.
He's like got swag for days.
He looks like Andrew Wilson in Bottle Rocket.
Like, yeah,
polo
like the
shirt.
Preppy goon.
Yeah. Like polo shirt and blue jeans. But again, it's like just an additional assortment of guys added to Wesley's crew. Like the one dude that looks like a drunk, he looks like he should be in the cast of Glengarry Glen Ross, and then catch him. And then also there are mountains in the background.
Like, a lot of mountains on display.
Wait, in Missouri?
A mountain range in the background.
Like, it is like the variety of the way the dudes are dressed is,
it's insane.
I had like drunk businessman, trucker, door-to-door Bible salesman and country club bully.
That's it. That's all of them.
Anything goes.
And then Jimmy.
And then Jimmy, who's, dresses sort of like Dalton, but with like
he's the anti-Dalton.
Yes.
Yeah, he does. He wears the black shirts instead of the white.
Coming out of the house with Mr. Wesley.
That's right. He is the whichever one is evil to yin and yang. I can't remember. So Wesley comes out to greet them. A bandaged and embarrassed-looking Pat sort of like skulks off inside.
Uh-huh.
He's like, oh, sorry, Uncle. Wesley smiles like to himself and then starts just like laying into the other guys, saying that Pat's weak, but they're supposed to look out for him. It's his sister's only son. If he's not there to look after him, you are.
He says something like he doesn't have the constitution for this. That's why he's a bartender.
He's got a weak constitution.
Right.
Like, does that mean he's not up for the rough stuff? So this was the role we gave him?
He was with the fucking knife earlier.
Oh, yeah. He thought he could take Dalton.
Okay.
So, Wesley says, as a result of this performance, one of you owes me an apology. Both Tinker and O'Connor try to apologize like at the same time. I'm sorry, boss. So Wesley forgives Tinker but starts to berate and beat on O'Connor.
He really does.
You disgust me. Do you know why you disgust me?
Why, boss?
Because you're a bleeder. You bleed too much. You're a messy bleeder.
He does. He, like, that fake punch he gives him, or it looked pretty real.
They sold it.
I wonder either, maybe it's like a stuntman. He's like, just hit me, dude.
Yeah.
It's all good.
You're weak. You got no endurance for pain.
With an elbow to the back.
He knees him in the crotch.
Also, what boots is Wesley wearing in this scene?
They were like the softest leather. I could feel how soft they were.
Those are, in today's marketing lingo, the writer would describe them as being buttery soft, which I hate. It's so gross.
They were they were the type that sort of just bunch down because they're not rigid enough to stand up.
Like they
they're women's boots.
You would mistake them for being like leg warmers in Jazzercise or something.
Yes, they were like the softest, most supple leather, rich Corinthian leather.
It probably cost $2,000 at that time. Wesley like knees him in the crotch, continues to beat up on him. The other guys all think it's funny because, of course,
Wesley's like not convincing as a tough guy.
And this maybe is as good a place as any to talk about, like, why Gazzara in this role?
I guess because he's a good-ass actor.
Yeah, like, he comes from an old school, but, like, who could have...
He's the right age.
Who could have done... Yeah, so he's supposed to be a Korean War veteran.
Okay.
Who has had enough time and capital somehow to end up in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was some seed money from the Cutler Empire.
Yeah.
to stake his claim in Jasper, Missouri, of all places.
Yes.
Yeah, this is where he's making his stand.
So who could have done it? Who wore it? Who could have worn it better is my question.
My first thought was Brian Dennehy. Physical presence. He's a good actor. He's not too big for this part,
right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I also thought when we were talking about it, and I think you pointed out he's probably too old, like, if you could have gotten a Charlton Heston, you would have been badass in this, but he was probably too old. He'd
been chewing the scenery.
Been 10 years too old even at this time to play that part.
Yeah, we also mentioned Hackman would have been good.
He fucking killed it.
Just screaming.
What about Burt Reynolds?
Ooh, that's a great call.
Was he the right age, perhaps?
Yeah, he would have been the right age. That's a really good call.
I would have loved
because he could have played that snake in the grass. And that's a very interesting call. I like that.
That's really well done.
So we then see Wesley telling O'Connor it's going to be okay because I like you, and then like one last punch.
O'Connor smiles.
Yeah, get this piece of shit coward out of here.
I noticed in this whole thing when all the guys are laughing and yucking it up, like I think Jimmy has one button buttoned on his shirt. It's just the very bottom button. Everything else was undone.
It's hot.
It's nuts.
So we cut to drunk businessman goon walking out of Red's garage, smirking like he owns the joint and getting in the car with Jimmy. They're getting in Wesley's Mustang.
Yes.
And then Dalton rolls up and they both like... giving him weird leers, like,
would these two be friends in real life?
No.
Like,
no way.
Jimmy and the other dude?
I don't think Jimmy would be friends with anyone.
Jimmy's a loner. I'm sorry. Yeah. He's a lone wolf.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. I just, like, anytime I see two goons together in this movie, they feel like an odd couple to me. Like, these two wouldn't be friends. Jimmy's it's weird to be, we're paying you to go be goons together. Like, that's just weird to me.
Maybe these are team-building exercises.
I see Jimmy as the yin to Dalton Zhang, whereas Dalton's the hired hand for the good guys. Jimmy's that lead hired hand for the bad
guys. That's a great point. Yeah, I like that angle. So they peel out.
Again, just a vista of mountains in the background. Mm-hmm. Like, is there... Could they not... Like, I get it. You're not filming in Missouri, but could you not film somewhere in California that didn't have mountains in the background? Like, there are some flat-ass areas... That you could have done.
Just a couple hours or closer outside L.A.
It's just not giving a shit.
Or just when you went out to find where you were going to build that set, since we know it was built. Like, if we're going to shoot this way, wait, there's cameras back there. Just build it another direction. Well, just move it around 180 degrees.
I don't know, man. I have to say, like, I'm mystified that this movie was made in 1989. Like, this is post-Predator, post-Lethal Weapon, post-Die Hard. Like... How can you make a movie that feels this kind of corny and cheap? I mean, I guess that was still happening, but this feels like one of the cheapest movies ever made.
Yep.
And it cost more than Predator to make. That makes no sense to me.
Swayze salary? Post-Dirty Dancing?
I don't
know
where the money... Well, they did commission a custom Bigfoot. Yeah.
Well, that was going to be my thing. Is this something because Swayze's popularity after Dirty Dancing, was this a script that had been laying around Hollywood and they said... Somebody was like, if we put him in this role, we can make some money here.
There's not a single actor that would have commanded barely any money in this movie other than Swayze.
Would this movie have been better or worse had it been a canon film?
Ooh, it should have been a canon movie.
Doesn't it feel like a canon movie?
Yes,
from
for
top
sure.
to bottom. It feels like a canon
everything
movie.
About it, from the pop music to like, everything about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like a... Which is to say, it feels like some sort of a money laundering scheme
yeah.
that we don't quite fully understand. Where did all the money go? Well, $10 million went into like just being laundered, and the other $7 million went to make the movie.
Dalton walks into the store and finds it immediately trash. He's concerned. I kind of feel like he feels that, like, he's fearing the worst, like calling out for Red.
I was fearing the worst, I think, watching it the first time, at least.
There's like motor oil spilled all over the place. Also, is he wearing a gi?
We got to discuss Dalton's shirt. It's like a karate gi tucked into jeans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he knows that's not how it's worn. I don't know.
I don't even know. That was never a style, I don't think. Do you think they were trying to make it a style?
Maybe. Yeah, I was about to say, can a gi be fashion?
No.
It's a gi, but make it fashion.
I grew up in the 80s.
No.
Nobody wore that.
No one did.
Okay.
Thank goodness Red comes out from the back with a mop preparing to clean up the mess. As he's coming out, Dalton sort of notices a picture of Dr. Clay on the wall behind the counter.
He did.
And then asks, you know, if he got robbed. And Red says this happens
every week.
Yeah, Red says Wesley skims 10% from his till just like he does with all the other business owners in town. He calls it the Jasper Improvement Society, and all the businesses in town have to kick in.
What's happening? Is he not paying? Or is he paying and they're still jacking his store up?
I think they pay and they still jack the place up.
Yeah.
My opinion. That's the vibe I got.
Which is some bullshit. But he's like, does everyone pay? And he's like, does a hobby horse have a wooden dick?
All things considered, like, Red doesn't seem to be in the worst mood.
Yeah, he's
got a sense of humor still. I'd be more pissed, I think.
Does he have to clean that mess up every week? That would drive me insane. We cut to a miscellaneous booby bar. The strip club. Where there's a, quote, wet G-string contest going on.
That's nuts. A good thing, too, because like, we hadn't seen any titties for a minute.
Yeah.
It's been 15 minutes since we've seen a bare breast.
That's how you know it could have been a canon film. Yes. But had it been a canon film, this would have happened in the opening shot.
It's like the fakest, the fakest of fake boobs.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know, like, the real... There was an HBO movie about, like, the pioneering of the boob job, which I think was happening, like, in the 60s. I don't know when they became, like, the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the 80s sometime. But, like, these ain't great that we're looking at in the bar here.
You know what? If she felt good about them, then we just have to respect that. There, though, we catch our first glimpse of the aforementioned Wade Garrett, played by... the incomparable Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what his expression was. He was either like tense or unhappy or bored.
I think, yeah, he's kind of like just checking out the situation, maybe even a little bored because this has to get old. Wade coolly stops a Marine from jumping up on stage, earning a wink from stripper number one. He's got a good relationship with that gal. Yeah.
Doesn't like Sam Elliott just has such an aura about him?
He's like, there couldn't have been a better team up in a movie like for this relationship between him and Swayze than him and Swayze.
I don't even necessarily, he doesn't really register as incredibly handsome to me in general.
Ruggedly
I don't
handsome.
See the handsomeness, but he's got an aura, like a sex appeal about him that you're like, this is like a man's man.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. It's the voice. He's that salt and pepper thing going on. We all wish we had that hair.
We see that
hair was flowing.
Oh,
that hair, gorgeous. Maybe it's the hair that's like just pushes him over the top. But we can see that he, like Dalton, is just very good at this job.
Yeah. The bartender calls to Wade saying that Dalton's on the phone for him. That cheers Wade up. He's like smiling. And as he's walking around, we also see he's got a little bit of a hitch in his giddy up. That's the first time you notice he's sort of like limping around.
With the right leg.
Yeah.
Yeah. So barroom brawl injury, I guess, or something, or motorcycle crash.
Football. So on the phone, we could tell that Wade and Dalton are all like super simpatico. Wade calls him Mijo, which is Spanish for like son.
Uh-huh.
And then Dalton on the line hints that there's a problem in Jasper and specifically asks if Wade, hey, have you ever heard of Brad Wesley?
That's a weird question, right? It would be weird if he had been like, oh, heck yeah.
What's Dalton's reaction if he does that?
Oh, like big guy, or like a big presence in Missouri, I hear. What?
Why is Dalton a laundromat? Is that where the phone is? The nearest phone?
I think
is he doing the laundry?
He's washing his gi.
And a very expensive laundromat, by the way, which I noticed that it cost nine quarters on a sign behind Dalton to wash.
What?
So this was 1989, so $2.25 to wash.
That's like $5.
Yeah.
That's...
I was in my college days from 91 to 97, it was a dollar for a washing machine.
I was about to say 75
but
cents
then,
a dollar.
As I posed to Kevin, is Wesley running this place and has jacked the price up as part of the Jasper Improvement Society?
Great point.
Just everything has been jacked up to help Wesley improve the town.
He's bleeding that town dry.
Yeah, I did not notice that, but that's expensive.
Well, honestly, have to give that shout out to my wife. She's the one that noticed the other night the nine quarters, and I went, "What?"
But I do think that that's a great point. That doesn't Dalton seem like the kind of guy that would wash his clothes in the pond out by the barn?
He had that old scrub board, like
the old washboard.
Hang
him on a clothesline out back.
He'd be shearing his own sheep and making his own like
he'd be sewing back there, making his own thread.
The ghee air dries very well.
Yeah, it does. So Wade says that he has not ever heard of Brad Wesley, and then quickly has to go break up a fight that's broken out. So he's like, "I'll catch you later." And cut to later on at the Double Deuce, Carrie Ann, the waitress, which we assume that this is part of her arc that some of the movie like didn't make it in the movie.
Yeah.
But like she's become like a star. She's up on the stage with the band, and she's good.
She's
singing the song.
Good.
Yeah.
Apparently,
good
the voice. Actress like has had some albums out.
Yeah, I didn't know that. She's great.
Yeah.
The place is hopping, but relatively peaceful, like compared to other times we've seen the Double Deuce.
There's a lot more neon.
Yeah.
There's some fresh paint. The chicken wire is gone.
That's right. That's right.
That people has 80s written all over it.
People are not whipping bottles at the band and Carrie Ann. We see Denise approach Dalton and just like, she wants to get nipple to nipple with Dalton. Yeah. Dalton demurs. She's like, "Why won't you look me in the eye, Dalton? I'm shy." And then here's another line that you should pocket just in case you ever need it. "Would you be shocked if I said, let's go back to my place and fuck?"
I mean, Dalton shows some incredible
resolve to not leave the bar.
What does she mean?
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
Ma'am, what do you mean?
The intestinal fortitude of Dalton to not waver at all. Like, I mean, she is smoking.
Yeah. Like, so this is she wearing the blue dress at this point,
yes,
right?
Yes, this is the blue dress. The electric blue. He should have been turning to Hank or one of the other guys. Like, "Y'all have the bar. I'll be back."
Yeah. So
give
then
me
we see
30
like,
minutes.
I need 45. Because I'm going to do Tai Chi before.
That's true.
So Jimmy, though, steps in suddenly and sort of aggressively, "Say goodnight, Denise," and like pulls her back and then stares Dalton down.
Yeah. Where's Wesley? Like, I guess just back at the house chilling?
Yeah.
Or doing some
shady shit? Shaking down the Ford
like,
dealership.
He lets Denise just go out and do her thing every night, but he sends a goon to keep an eye on her?
So by this point, we've seen Denise with Wesley at Wesley's house. We've seen Jimmy.
Yeah.
We know Jimmy belongs to Wesley as well.
Yeah.
So are we up on why Jimmy would be manhandling her at this point?
Well, Wesley's obviously having her followed because earlier in the movie, we know Morgan looked after her when the guy was hitting on her getting nipple to nipple, and Morgan took that guy away. So I think he's always got somebody watching her.
That's a good point.
Okay. He's like a control freak in general.
So he wants her to have a good time, but not too good
but
a time.
But not too good.
So outside, we see Jimmy forcibly dragging Denise away.
Like manhandling her.
Yeah, and as they're walking away, Bigfoot and crew have arrived. We see four of Wesley's heavy hitters get out and enter the bar.
Not led by, but Alan Graff is there.
Yes.
One of our favorites, man.
He keeps coming back.
I just made John watch through Deadwood.
Yes.
And Alan Graff as
he's like the lackey to Hearst.
Hearst's like top henchman, but he just plays such a good heavy.
Yeah. Imposing presence now, even as recently as 8-9 years ago.
When they step inside the bar, Alan Graff is not Alan Graff anymore. Did you notice it was like a different dude in his place?
Man. He's like a different guy.
Well, they probably shot it a month later, and they're like, "Yeah, we can't get the same guys. Just dress someone the similar, put a fake mustache on him."
I would not find it hard to believe that Alan Graff was busy as hell. Like, he was all over the place at all times.
He was dealing with Lincoln Hawk by then.
Like, we can't.
No, he did
back.
Hawk earlier. He was on a Total Recall by this time.
Probably. Yeah, you're probably right. Filming that one scene.
Yeah.
So the guys walk in, and Dalton instantly points out to Jack, the bouncer, that the lead guy has a blade in the toe of his boot. That's a custom job.
The preternatural bouncer skill. There should have, like, that was a great effect when the light passed over the blade. Totally. There should have been a sound effect on that. Like,
like when a sword comes out of the sheath. Now, before the guys can get too far in, Dalton tells the guys the bar is closed. Any other bouncers come to back him up. The guy's like, well, what are all these other people doing here? He's like, well, they're drinking and having a good time. He's like, well, that's why we're here. And immediately tries to murder Dalton.
He goes straight for the kick with the blade.
Immediately.
Going right for the throat.
So were they sent there to kill Dalton?
I guess. Or just, like, why?
Orders to wreck the place? I don't know.
I don't know. I guess it is like he, or maybe it just
to retake control of the double deuce.
Yeah, to prove a point.
It's his town.
But also maybe kill Dalton.
Yeah.
So yeah, boot blade guy tries to kick Dalton. Dalton catches his kick and takes him down, like drags him outside, which is awesome.
He's following his rules.
You're too stupid to have a good time.
Yeah.
when they pop back outside, it's Alan Graf again. I love that. It's gone back to the guys from before. Love it.
Maybe he forgot. He's like went back out to the car to get his knife. I don't know. Perhaps. Who knows? So yeah, Dalton pulls the guy's boot off and tosses it onto the roof. I thought it was like that was a missed opportunity to show like the boot like a ding and like stick into a board or something.
What if he had swung that boot like a weapon? Like that would have been sweet. But it was the smart move to toss it on the roof.
Yeah, it's at this moment like while all this shenanigan is happening that Dr. Clay arrives. It's perfect timing.
She's like wearing a picnic blanket.
I was about to say, it looks like a tablecloth.
Yeah, she looks like this season's outside cafe table. But I guess this is what Dalton wanted, right? He wanted her to show up and see him doing this.
In his element.
See him in action.
I've seen you in your element. I wanted you to see me in mine.
This is my zen place. It's just manhandling rednecks.
Yeah, Dalton and his crew are just going through Wesley's guys, much to the delight of onlookers and Tillman. Clay doesn't seem to be much into it, but once the fight's over, she's like, she's very into it. Yes. We'll say.
She was frothing for him at the end. Everyone was like stoked over the carnage.
Yeah.
Like a gladiator fight or something. There was some dude who's like, you heard some guy in the background say, damn good fight. Just like,
I've been waiting all week for this.
I like Dalton was like teaching Jack, like coaching Jack up. He's like, you know, kick him in the knee or whatever. Like,
he'll drop like a stone.
That's like the Quicksilver method.
Well, as you said when we were watching it, you know, it looked like Dalton had been training the guys at the bar almost as bouncers. Like, oh,
I did
they
wonder.
They weren't the greatest fighters early, but now they just took
they
the
were
goons
the,
out.
They like, deleted scenes where he's coaching them up.
It would have been awesome if there'd been like a Footloose training montage.
He's giving him Rick said he was giving him the Quicksilver method from Karate Kid 3. Man can't stand, he can't fight.
Can't fight. Man can't see, he can't fight. So later that night, Dalton and the doc are at a diner. Dalton puffing away on a cigarette, like constantly, always smoking.
That would turn the doctor off, right? For sure.
They like the place Bonnie's Grill.
Now, how late is it now? Again, it's got to be 3, right?
Maybe he felt like the bar was in good enough hands that he was comfortable leaving early.
So did you, ooh, I like that. Because otherwise, you're thinking the doctor like chilled. Just chilled at the Double Deuce for 6 hours waiting for Dalton to get off.
Hammered, drunk.
I think John's got it because the rest of the patrons were no longer causing problems.
They had already
they
ran the rabble out.
Yeah, now it was just Wesley's guys that were causing problems. Yeah.
That would make more sense for sure.
Yeah, so at the diner, which, man, I miss it. I can't wait. There are things that I miss in the time of COVID. Diners and pubs. Can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait. Anyway, she asks Dalton if he's always, quote, better than they are. And he says, pretty much. And says that he's never really been put down. Okay. So he explains that anyone that's looking for a fight is not a threat to someone who's ready for a fight. There's some philosophy.
Is that philosophy? I don't know.
So she seems to insinuate that it's not a great career path that he's chosen, which is kind of judgmental, but yeah. And he says, like, I feel like he takes a little bit of umbrage and he's like, he doesn't want to get into it. And he's like, you know what? I think it's probably time for me to take you home.
Okay.
If I go on talking, you're going to go off thinking I'm a nice guy.
I like. Then what she says, I know you're not a nice guy,
but she smiles. She smirks. She's into it.
See, this, I've been thinking about this for days now.
All right.
He's playing like some next level, like 4D mental chess. Yeah. I think, like, because I feel like he is a nice guy. He's going for, he wants her to think that he's a bad boy.
Right.
But I think he knows he comes off nice, but he wants her to think he's a bad boy so then he can later reveal himself to be the actual nice guy.
Well, that's interesting because I feel like that's a theme for Dalton throughout the movie.
There was, did either of you guys ever watch this Dr. Horrible thing? It was like years ago. It was a Joss Whedon thing. But there's this amazing bit where you got like the main guy and he's in love with this girl and the girl's in love with this douchebag guy.
Yeah.
And she's saying, you know, he's got this thing on the surface, but then underneath that, you know, there's something different. Like people are layered like that. And he's like, yeah, but sometimes you get to another deeper level below that level that's just like the level on the surface. Like, it's like pie. He's like, I think that's Dalton. That's Dalton. It's like, he's like, he's playing this. He knows exactly. This isn't his first small town doctor that he's wooed and moved on.
He's got a hookup in every town.
He's got a game, I think, that he's like, he plays and this is it.
But do you think that maybe when he met her, he was like, I am going to settle down in this town. And so he was like pretending he's not going to settle down in this town.
If so, he's like playing the long game. But I think he is playing the long game.
Yeah. So then we see like a drunk behind him, like dozing off at the bar. Dalton pays off the drunk's bill so the diner owner will like leave the guy alone and quit threatening to toss him out.
How much do you think he left there? Like, what did he plop down? How much money?
$50.
I think 100.
I'd buy that. I was going to say 100, but 50.
Well, he gets 100 a night. Do you think he's like, he's always flush. 500 a night, he's always flush with cash.
I mean, it's in cash. He just pulls out the fold of money and just pulls one out.
Just a wad. This is also the second time in the movie that someone says something like that to someone who's dozing off in a bar. The crack about it, like, it's not a home or a room for rent.
Yeah. Me and Rick were looking earlier, like, we were wondering if it was the same dude. Uh-huh. But it seemed to not be the same guy. But it was like a guy who was passed out on the stairs in the double deuce or something.
Yeah, the first night Dalton showed up.
That would have been kind of awesome if it had been the same
guy.
Yeah,
that would have been great. He's like the town drunk.
That would have been
like
great.
Otis let himself into jail.
We thought it would have been great, but I don't think there was the forethought with this movie not to pull off something like that.
You mean Roddy didn't think about that? So Dr. Clay drives Dalton back to the double D where Dalton's car is once again trashed.
Dude, her Jeep was hot.
Yeah, that Jeep is awesome.
I love that. The windshield that folds down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Rad.
You live some kind of life, Dalton, she says. Too ugly for you? I didn't say that.
So weird.
She's into it.
She'd sleep in the barn. Dalton undoes his seatbelt and makes a move, and it's just the lightest of little kisses.
He's so intense when he, like, does the sexy scenes. Like, he's, like, staring a hole through the woman.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't know if it comes off as... if women are into that or if it's like a little too intense.
I feel like she, and this was the first inkling that it's the actress, Ms. Lynch, that's like selling the chemistry between the two of them. Because when it starts to get physical at all and Dalton's the one that's instigating, it feels very weird. It doesn't feel natural to me. Like this kiss is like for the intensity of him leaning across the car and like coming for him, like taking off the seatbelt and then just like that. Just that little peck on the lips. And she's like, okay. Anyway, he gets out. Dr. Clay drives off. They exchange goodnights. Back at the farm the next morning, Dalton has never gone to bed.
Did he sleep on the hood of that car?
I feel like he'd never slept.
Well, it was probably close to dawn by the time he got home.
He's just like arms behind his head.
Or is he looking across the river waiting for Wesley to make a move?
Ooh, that's it. Maybe. Maybe both.
Keeping his eye on Wesley because he now knows something's going on in this town.
Yeah, perhaps.
And then we see Tinker and O'Connor.
Okay. I have a problem with this.
Yeah, man. Hit it.
I timed this out in movie time. Less than 10 minutes ago in the movie, we beat the shit out of O'Connor.
Right. Get this piece of shit coward out of here.
Exactly. Less than 10 minutes later, he's back working for Wesley again.
He's back in the fold.
Yeah.
Why
would
he knows where his bread is.
Why would he want that job and why would Wesley have him back?
I mean, is it because he has worked for Wesley and the town knows him? No one will hire him. So this is the only job he can take.
I think that I think it's probably because if he stopped working for Wesley, if he put his foot down, that he'd probably get killed.
I mean, I feel like he was standing there just letting Wesley kick his ass, because if it came to a fight, he was going to smoke Wesley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like letting it happen.
Or that Jimmy would step in and fucking kill him. Yes. So it's like,
that's a good point.
I love the line. I don't know if it was Tinker O'Connor says, "We've been looking all over for you." It's like, where?
Should have asked Carrie Ann.
Where? There's only, no, Wesley knows where he lives.
Yeah, I know.
There's only two places he ever is.
Yeah, I know.
It's either here or at the Double Deuce.
Well, and they know his car now. Look across the river. The car's there. Okay, Dalton's there.
It made no sense. We've been looking all over for you.
They tell him that Mr. Wesley wants to see him. I like that Dalton makes that sudden move and they both flinch, but he goes along with him.
Which, why?
I don't
know. Like, he just had a major fight with these two. Like, he's now just going to peacefully get in the car with them.
You got to know your enemy, I guess.
They send him to the hospital, and he's like, okay, I'll go for a ride with you
fine.
Guys.
That's cool.
After you.
I'm sitting in the back alone with a gun. So anyway, they take Dalton across the water. It would have been amazing if they'd been, Wesley wants to speak to you, and they jumped into like a canoe.
A lot quicker.
Started paddling across.
A lot quicker.
So anyway, Dalton is up in Wesley's place, which is swanky. There are like multiple pool tables, a full-size grand piano, taxidermy animal heads everywhere, some 80s like...
pop was
some
blaring.
You know what it is like,
place was surreal.
Yeah,
that billiards area though was awesome.
Yeah, and then that we see a very beat up Denise doing aerobics, and she like tries to hide her face, and I think this is like, this irks Dalton something fierce.
It's pretty like, fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, is that because of her flirting with Dalton?
Gotta be.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Jimmy went back and told Wesley what he'd seen. And
Wesley probably made Jimmy beat her in front of him.
Do you think Jimmy did the beating?
Probably.
No, Wesley.
You think?
Probably
yeah,
did
Wesley
it.
Gets off on it.
He's
feeling like
shit.
A big man.
He probably had Jimmy hold her down.
That's
while he
some
pounded
bullshit.
Her.
Oh, that makes me hate Wesley even more. So they take Dalton to the solarium where Brad Wesley's eating breakfast. He offers Dalton a Bloody Mary some breakfast.
Director on the commentary said he thought Gazzara probably ate a dozen eggs during this, like while they were filming this scene, because he's just like eating it for real, the omelet or whatever it was he had going there, the scramble.
Oh man,
does he not know the spit take? Just
no,
eat
exactly.
Apparently, like, you spit it out.
So yeah. So Dalton declines, and Wesley like freaks out to turn that shit off, the music.
I would have liked it more, I think, if he was into that type of music.
this is what we were talking about a couple episodes ago with like him listening to Life is But a Dream.
Yeah.
And like he's like, this music has no heart, because he's probably stopped listening to popular music 25, 30 years ago. He hasn't listened to anything but Sinatra and Tony Bennett and guys like that.
He Dino. Does come later with that, like, we'll see later when he's like, play something with balls.
Yeah, it's like, what do you mean? It's like, let's hear Fly Me to the Moon. Or like, I'm like, what do you mean? So, yeah, Wesley tells Dalton, you're smart, but you're not too realistic. And then he says, we're just alike. I came up the hard way in Chicago.
What is he talking about?
I don't know.
He doesn't know anything about Dalton's background.
Yeah, I don't just... I came up the hard way in Chicago, and his voice sounds like, after Korea, I came to this town.
He's
like, there's
just
nothing.
A whole lot of unnecessary backstory about his granddad, and his granddad
was
an
asshole.
It's like, what are we talking about, dude?
All I know is that J.C. Penney is coming to Jasper because of Brad Wesley.
That is a sign of the times with the movie.
Yeah,
that's
a blast from the past in this episode.
That's the weirdest flex ever. J.C. Penney is coming here because of me.
Yeah.
It's like, I brought the 7-Eleven, the photo mat. It's like, okay, boss.
Dalton points out, you've gotten rich from this town. And Wesley's like, yeah, and I plan to get a lot richer. He says he's fulfilling his destiny, which is fucked up, to gather unto him all that is mine.
That's like some weird, like, manifest destiny, like render unto Caesar.
Capitalism at its absolute worst.
He's like a sociopathic shit going on.
He's like, height of Reaganomics.
He's like a low-rent robber baron. Like, it's... Well,
I feel like if it was a Western, he was like the evil rancher, right?
Yeah,
like
totally.
Who wanted to take over all the ranches in town.
Wesley points out to Dalton that beating up people is his job, but that he must also enjoy it. So like, tell me you don't love it. Of course you do. You wouldn't be human if you didn't.
Again, also just weirdly sociopathic. Like, Wesley clearly enjoys hurting people.
Yeah.
Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
And he doesn't understand anyone who doesn't feel that way.
Right. No. He's a Sith. And Dalton's a Jedi.
Shit.
Wesley tells
Jimmy is his apprentice.
That's right. There can be only two.
Shit.
There are always two. So Wesley tells Dalton he's heard through the grapevine through his brother or a cousin in Memphis.
Some distant relation.
That Dalton killed a man in Memphis, and he said it was in self-defense at the trial, but you and I know that isn't so, don't we?
What?
Again, why would he know that?
How would Wesley know?
It's a power play again, asserting his authority over everyone.
Right. Wesley knows nothing about Dalton, like to assume we both know that you just killed him for sport or whatever for the thrill.
Because of the throat rip, probably. Dalton becomes visibly agitated, and Wesley tells him to relax, relax. He asks Dalton how much it would cost for him to come work for him if he owned a bar. Yeah. Dalton says, there ain't no amount of money. I'm out.
I didn't get, what is he proposing? Is he like, if I took over the Double Deuce?
Or if I had to pay you,
how much would it cost for me to pay you to leave town?
Any and all above is kind of my take. It's like,
yeah. Okay. I was thinking like John was saying.
Another bar in town.
Possibly opening his own bar, running Tillman out of business, and just, you know, another power play that I own the town.
Okay.
It's like, just hypothetically, one of three things. I could take Tillman's bar, because what's he going to say? Mm-hmm. I could open my own place, or I could just pay you to leave.
Like, yeah, you go work at my bar that doesn't exist somewhere else, and I'll give you $50,000.
Dalton's like, nah, bye. So later, it's nighttime at the Double Deuce, which appears to have gotten a full makeover.
There's new neon everywhere.
The outside is different. Like, where's the work crew? Like, when was this going on?
I don't know.
Have any days passed?
We've seen like a little bit of progress happening, like maybe three or four different stages of like repair.
But I mean,
it's so,
especially on the interior.
That's like a extreme home makeover.
I figure
style.
This has to be a week later. It's okay, probably got to be a week. Sense. It's so douchey now, though.
Yeah. It's lost that appeal, that charm.
Like, to me, the place is lame now.
Yeah, agreed.
And Tillman's, like, taking all the character out and turn it into, like, a fucking Applebee's or something. employees are dressed in uniforms now. It's so lame.
They all look like Target cashiers.
It's no longer a bar. It's almost become like a nightclub or even the interior.
It's like Dave and Buster's.
Yeah,
when
you see the wide shots of the interior, it almost looks like a restaurant because there's an upper area with tables sitting and eating and drinking.
I feel like the
vibe is different.
I feel like for the 80s, this was cool.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Like, this is an upgrade. But nowadays, it's like, no, they took all the heart out of the place and just made it corporate.
There's no chunk. It's got no balls. So the band's jamming. Dalton's looking very pleased. Shit is tame, just the way he likes it.
This makes me not like Dalton as much.
That he likes this vanilla
he's
shit.
He's complicit in like ruining the Double Deuce. Also, it's lame that he makes all the other employees wear the uniform and he doesn't have to wear it. That is a dick move. Big time.
The new bartender, Ernie, gives Dalton a mug of coffee, and we all love Keith David.
It's Keith David. He is awesome. Yeah. He barely gets to talk in this whole movie.
Which is a shame because his voice is magical.
Apparently, he was in the previous scene where the four goons came in, but he was sort of out of focus in the background. But apparently, he also had like a much bigger part in the 3.5 hour cut of the film,
right?
Where like that he and his girlfriend were supposed to have come into the bar to hear Cody play,
right?
And like some rednecks, you know, went at him and his girl.
Oh, interesting.
And he was fighting with them, and Dalton came to his rescue, and then Dalton liked that he could like the way he handled himself, and invited him to come work there.
You need a job,
which also does make you wonder, like, did he have nothing else going that he's like, yeah, I'll take this job.
Good tips.
Yeah. I guess so. I mean, the pay could be pretty good in there, but.
So Tillman walks up. Ernie tells him they're running low on whiskey. Tillman says he's pissed because just when he's got this place humming like a top. Is that the thing? Purring?
Sure.
Humming, spinning like a top? Who fucking cares? Shut up, all of you. Tillman says that that he's having this problem getting whiskey delivered to him. He's called every distributor in town and no one will bring it. Dalton says, it's Wesley. Let me take care of it.
I like this. He's got a guy. I got a supplier.
Yep.
Close I can by. Get his,
give me the phone.
I know guys everywhere.
So later, it appears to be the end of the night. Dalton's leaving outside. Dr. Clay is stalking him.
She is thirsty. Yeah. She's got it bad.
Seductively leaning against that Jeep.
He walked out and it was just like a cloud of smoke from his cigarette smoking. Yeah. And there he's just puffing away.
Also in the parking lot is Bigfoot.
In plain sight,
directly in line behind her Jeep.
I mean, maybe they're not trying to hide, but he's acting as if he doesn't notice.
Right. he's so smitten with the good doctor lady that he didn't even see.
Does it. He knows it's connected to Wesley, right? Has he seen it over at the ranch?
I don't know if he's seen it at the ranch, but he saw it when he drugged those dudes outside the night before.
Yeah, so a week before. He had to have seen it outside of the fight.
Imagine a world in which you just don't ignore, like you see Bigfoot in a parking lot and you don't notice it.
It's not going to happen. So in the truck, Jimmy and Ketchum seem amused by the fact that Dalton is walking the dock and that they're chatting. He's like, uh-oh, dig a hole. So there's like some...
Are they there doing surveillance for Wesley, or were they in there partying that night and they're just whatever?
No, I think that they're surveilling them because I think that on any other night they would have already been back at Wesley's for the orgy.
The Caligula style.
Which again plays into the bravado. Go do the surveillance in Bigfoot. Don't take the sedan. Take the big 20-foot tall truck.
Shit.
Dalton drives Doc back to the farm in her Jeep. She seems a little bit confused by the setup, but Dalton tells her, it's like, no, I don't live in the barn. I live above the barn.
Yeah.
He takes her upstairs and she says she loves it. And of course,
it is a romantic setup.
Yeah.
Yes.
If maybe impractical. And if you don't mind Emmett watching
and the smell, but she opens the window and there's like this long shot of her like looking out the window across the river at Wesley's mansion.
We feel like there's something going on.
And this is done while Dalton's playing with his like transistor radio.
Yes.
He finds some like 80s tastic rock, like
good
industrial
metal.
Rock. Yeah. Hair metal good music. Hair and they're metal. Both like, no, we're not going to listen to this shit. And then he
sold their soul to rock and roll.
Right. And so then he tunes into some Otis Redding and that's more like it.
Apparently that song, that These Arms of Mine song, was like, I have never seen Dirty Dancing, but the internet told me that this is the same song that he like seduces the woman to in Dirty Dancing.
Don't feel like crying.
I do not remember.
I don't know, because I haven't seen it. If that's true, that seems kind of like lazy.
Well, there's more. That would be the first that I can recall. There are a couple of different Dirty Dancing call-backs in this movie.
Okay. And oh, really?
Yeah. Another one is when Denise is dancing later on.
He takes her off the stage.
When he does the finger, like, come here, that's a Dirty Dancing thing that
he
does.
Is that like
a,
he did with Baby?
Yeah,
is like the Arnold, is it like the I'll Be Back, like you got to work it in?
I don't remember if he did it in Point Break or
Did
Ghost.
A finger?
Yeah.
I don't know either.
I don't remember.
I used to, this music, I will say, that old soul music.
Oh, it's so hot.
Works. Like, I got a playlist on my iPod that an old ex used to call a panty dropper mix. That was effective.
Yeah, I've seen many a list where that song is among the most romantic songs of all time. Played at many a wedding, I'm sure.
It is nice. That, like some Sam Cooke or some Marvin Gaye, like absolutely. Just kills it.
Well, it makes you wish that him listening to that music made him more like sexual, because he's like stalking her like an animal.
It made me feel a little
predator.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, she's backing away the whole time.
He is weirdly predatory.
If you're not Swayze, like, that probably doesn't fly.
No. Yeah, he tells her he saw the picture in Red's garage. She says Red's my uncle. She says that he raised her after her parents died, and he's the reason she came back to Jasper so she could take care of him.
Sure.
Maybe Red's taking money to keep the garage open. I don't know. Dalton asks her why she never got married, and she said she did, but it didn't work out. And she says it didn't work out because she picked the wrong guy.
Yeah. It's weird, right? Weird detail that never becomes relevant.
Right. And they never dig any more into that. But then...
I feel like in a longer version of this movie, there has to have been maybe that dude came back around or something. That's a weird detail to drop in and never have it, though, come to any type of fruition.
So then he, at the mention of this, he like weirdly gets right up on her and like grabs her face on both sides of her face.
Weird.
Is that the move?
They were like torso to torso. And I mean, you guys can see me, but our listeners can't. But to touch someone's face that's like you're almost nose to nose would be a very awkward thing to do.
It's like Tom Hanks' hands in the money pit when he's caught in the hole in the floor.
Yes, and Swayze's shoulders, you can see his shoulders are up by his ears. Yeah. His hands are straight out.
This and is then, that moment. I'm not feeling any chemistry.
No. They start undressing each other, and the photography is so weird that it does not make this scene sexy at all. It seems very...
It's like a
medical,
almost.
Or like,
it's like
transactional, like I imagine this is what it's like if you're paying for it.
I unbutton your dress, you unbutton my pants and take the belt off, and it just feels, it's like not sexy at all.
He's like kind of roughly dragging his fingers up her legs, like,
yeah,
it looks like it wouldn't be pleasurable for either of them.
Then he picks her up and he slams her against the stone wall.
There's like an audible thud when she hits the wall.
That can't feel good. That's like, it's like having sex on a cobblestone driveway. It's like, and their kisses are weird. It's like their kisses don't seem natural.
It's just, all of it's awkward.
Yeah.
There's a funny note about that scene that Kelly Lynch mentioned in an interview.
Oh, yeah?
Her husband is really good friends with Bill Murray.
Okay.
And apparently during the 90s and the 2000s, whenever this played, and Bill, or as she put it, any of his idiot brothers it on TV, they would call her husband, and they're like, in the Carl Spackler voice from Caddyshack, Kelly's doing it with Patrick Swayze. They're having sex, and he's pinning her against that wall, and she's loving it.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Bill Murray.
Because that wall can't be comfortable.
No, it hurt like hell.
Uh-huh.
So then he, like, takes her to bed, and then later on she wakes up and looks around, and he's outside sitting by the light of the silvery moon, smoking a cigarette on the roof of the barn.
Butt-ass naked.
Just butt-naked.
Again, exhibitionist. Like,
yeah. And she bundles up to head out to join him. Mm-hmm. So she's got some propriety. They kiss. She notices a scar on his back and tells him that he's going to wind up crippled if he doesn't slow down. He's like, yeah, that's what they say. Okay.
This whole thing's awkward. He's like, what, you people have told you that before? He's like, no, I just said that's what they say. Like, it's just, I don't know if this is his charm. I don't know. I think when you look like Swayze, anything goes.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. She asks him at that point, where do you think you're going to go next? He says he doesn't know. And she says, well, you could just stay in Jasper if you wanted to. And he's like, I don't think so.
She's like clearly angling for him to stay, which is a lot after like two dates.
Yeah.
But he shoots her down harsh. I don't think so. That is a flat out rejection.
But it turns her on, I guess, because they start making it again on the roof.
She just puts it on him again.
Yeah. But then we see, as they're starting to get down to it on barn roof across the water, Wesley is looking as menacing as someone can while rocking in a rocking chair. Like a creepy granddad.
Again, I ask, what time is it? 4 a.m., right?
3, 4 a.m.?
Late. Why is Wesley up?
Yeah. He never sleeps. I get the feeling Wesley doesn't sleep. He doesn't need it.
I also just have to say, Denise is way hotter than Doc Clay.
Yeah.
Like, but he wants to control everyone, I guess. He wants to have everyone.
It doesn't matter who it is.
Okay. That's his thing.
Yeah. It is.
He wants to possess every woman in town. Basically.
Well, what do you think Wesley's thinking at this moment?
Dalton's got to die.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen tonight, though.
Or he has to add Dalton to his stable of goons.
That would be amazing.
He'd be crown jewel.
Like, he's the emperor. He's got to turn Luke Skywalker.
Yes. Amazing.
Will he be successful? We'll find out next time. Maybe.
We'll be back.